Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
Good evening. This is Love Sport and you are listening to the Manchester United Fan Show. We're with you for an hour to reflect on all things Manchester United. Of course, looking ahead to that game with Leicester next weekend. Looking back to the international games, of course, that have already taken place with international players, Manchester United players on international duty. If you want to join in the debate, you can get in touch 0208 7020 558. You can WhatsApp us on that number as well, or drop us a tweet at Love Sport Radio. Now, plenty of activity with United players away on international duty. Of course, Nemanja Matic getting 90 minutes for Serbia in their defeat to Portugal. Not had 90 minutes for United this season, but gets a full 90 minutes for Serbia. Daniel James heavily involved in that Wales win over Azerbaijan. Of course, Scott McTominay, he was dragged in Scotland's defeat to Russia. And Victor Lindelof getting off the mark for Sweden in their 4-0 win over the Faroe Islands. And worth a mention for Mason Greenwood as well, making his debut for England under-21s in their Euro 2021 qualifying campaign. They were actually 2-1 down to Turkey when Mason Greenwood came on the pitch, and the final score was 3-2. So everything looking rosy there for Mason Greenwood, who we're hoping is going to have a good season for Manchester United this season. Of course, being used by Ole Gunnar Solskjaer alongside Anthony Martial and Marcus Rashford. Marcus Rashford, of course, playing for England in that 4-0 victory this weekend against 4-0 victory for England, of course, against the Czech Republic. And he managed to get the penalty, of course, that Harry Kane converted. Harry Maguire playing as well. But Roy Keane, interestingly, with some comments that we are going to move on to, of course, he was very complimentary of those United players in the side, but also a little bit scathing as well. He said Harry Maguire has plenty to learn at the back for England. Not quite the finished article yet. And Marcus Rashford needs to learn a lot from Raheem Sterling. This is what he also had to say about Sir Alex Ferguson when both him and Gary Neville were talking to the chaps from Off the Ball earlier in the week.
And I tell you what, I was at the club when Brian Robson left. I was at the club when Steve Bruce left. Two brilliant servants from Man United. And I didn't like the way they were treated at the end. So people talk about Ferguson's man management. Don't be kidded on by all of it either. Yeah. Don't be kidded on by all that. And Ferguson came out afterwards going, well, I always done what was best for United, Manchester United. Nonsense. His son played for the club, won a league medal, Darren. Very lucky. His brother was chief scout for Man United for a long time. Hey, listen, I'm surprised his wife wasn't involved on the staff somewhere. Darren, his son, was at Preston one time. Darren loses his job. A couple of young players are on loan for Man United. Guess what happens the next day? They're pulled out of Preston. Is that what's doing the best for Man United? Do me a favour.
Well, that was Roy Keane speaking to the chaps from Off the Ball alongside Gary Neville earlier this week. Those comments have been blasted around everywhere, especially the stuff that he was saying on Sir Alex Ferguson. This is the Manchester United Fan Show on Love Sport. If you want to join the debate, it's 0208 70 20 558. You can also get us on the social at Love Sport Radio. Roy Keane was also at the England game, their 4-0 defeat to Bulgaria yesterday. On Harry Maguire, he said, I think he's done okay. We were talking about how good he is on the ball, but defensively, I still think I have one or two question marks over him. He questioned the first goal against Crystal Palace, said he wasn't doing the basics, wasn't covering around his other centre-half. He said he's 26 years of age now. You're going to be worried if you're pointing these things out to him. Like I said earlier as well, he said that Marcus Rashford can learn a lot from Raheem Sterling, but he's also had a lot to say about Sir Alex Ferguson and his son in those comments. I'm delighted to say we're joined by Mark Flanagan of LSR Northwest Radio. How are you doing, Mark? Nope, we don't have Mark on the line. Seems to have a bit of trouble getting Mark on the line week after week, but I'm just going to touch on those comments that Roy Keane made about Darren Ferguson because I think they're slightly unjust. Darren Ferguson did play under Sir Alex Ferguson in that inaugural Premier League season when the club, of course, won their first Premier League. Is it unfair to say that he didn't deserve a Premier League medal? Absolutely. Darren Ferguson played in the first 14 or 15 games of that season. And in fact, Manchester United started that season terribly, we know, with a 2-1 defeat to Sheffield United, with a 3-0 defeat to Everton, and then a 1-1 draw with Ipswich, and then went on a very good run. And I'm going to loosely suggest that Darren Ferguson was partly responsible for that. Yes, Darren Ferguson was the man who delivered the ball into Dion Dublin to score a winner in the dying moments of that first victory of the 92-93 Premier League season at Southampton. United then went on an 11-game unbeaten run as they went for the title in that first Premier League season. Again, defeats to Wimbledon and Aston Villa back-to-back meant that Darren Ferguson's time and Brian Robson coming back into the side gave Darren Ferguson very little time in the United starting lineup after that. I think he only made 5 or 6 appearances until the end of the season. But Darren Ferguson, definitely worth his Premier League medal as a Manchester United player. And I don't think that you can say Alex Ferguson was favouring his son, because Sir Alex Ferguson also came out and was quite blunt and was quite honest about the fact that he found it very difficult to manage a side with his son in it. You could say on one hand, is that bad management from Sir Alex Ferguson, that he couldn't separate the fact that his son was there as opposed to the best team that he could pick? Brian Robson was injured at the start of that 92-93 season. So Darren Ferguson, being a central midfielder, a central midfield enforcer, you'd like to think, obviously nowhere near the quality of Brian Robson, the best player, not only to play for Manchester United, to play professional football ever, in my opinion. It goes Brian Robson, then it goes Ronaldo, then it goes Lionel Messi. But Darren Ferguson played his part in that 92-93 season, so I do think it's unfair of Roy Keane to suggest that it was favouritism. Sir Alex Ferguson eventually moved him on to Wolves the following campaign because he just didn't feel like he could manage a club with his son in it. The fact that Roy Keane brought in Sir Alex Ferguson's wife, Kathy, is probably unfair. The fact that he alluded to Sir Alex Ferguson taking players away from Preston after Darren Ferguson was sacked. Again, do you know what? Maybe we can understand that. Maybe that is just something to do with family. We don't know the ins and outs of that dismissal for Darren Ferguson at Preston, but with Sir Alex Ferguson felt that it was unjust, perhaps it wasn't the worst decision for him to take those loan players out of the club. Just a bit of admin as things stand. Victor Lindelof currently in the Sweden side that is drawing 1-1 with Norway. Like we said earlier, Victor Lindelof did even score for Sweden in their victory over Faroe Islands earlier in the week. David De Gea today has got the nod for Spain. They're also playing the Faroe Islands. We know that Kepa was the man who got the nod in that clash with Romania earlier in the week and actually made a De Gea-esque save from George Puskas. Of course, we saw George Puskas in the Euro Under-21 Championships in the summer, putting England to the sword. He is now a big member of that Romanian senior side, but Kepa got the nod over De Gea, and actually that is 7 games and 7 wins for Kepa for Spain. But De Gea back in the side today, right? This is the Manchester United Fan Show on Love Sport. We are going to try and get Mark Flanagan back on the line. We'll be back in a moment.
Love Sport.
This is the Manchester United Fan Show on Love Sport. Me, Matt Biddle, with you through until 10 p.m. this evening. If you want to join in the debate, we are discussing all things Manchester United. Give us a call, 0208 7020 558. You can WhatsApp us on that number as well, or you can tweet us at Love Sport Radio. Now, before the ads, we were discussing Roy Keane. When are we not discussing Roy Keane? Because he's obviously made some controversial comments again, speaking to the guys from Off the Ball in Ireland alongside Gary Neville. And we're going to get onto Gary Neville and the fact that he was quite quiet while Roy Keane was making these comments about Sir Alex Ferguson, about Darren Ferguson, and questioning, in fact, that Alex Ferguson's man management while he was at Manchester United. I'm hoping now we do finally have Mark Flanagan of LSR Northwest Radio on the line. How are you doing, Mark?
I do exist.
You do exist, Mark. Finally, you are here with us.
Not a figment of Love Sport Radio's imagination.
No, absolutely not. Well, great to have you on the line. Look, we're discussing this Roy Keane debate at the moment and the fact that he's come out and made these comments about Sir Alex Ferguson. Firstly, before we get on to the inner depths of it, what do you make of what Roy Keane has said?
The thing about Keane is, the underlying thing about Keane in terms of you watch him on as a pundit, and some of the best stuff that I've ever heard said about United when they're in a crisis has been said by Keane. He's right on the money. But you just get the feeling that he would struggle to pay anybody a compliment. If United were flying high at the top of the Premier League and were hammering teams, you know, and doing what City are doing, he'd be quiet. He wouldn't be happy for them. And I think that goes to kind of Roy Keane's underlying sort of personality in terms of post-Manchester United as a player, that he just doesn't take any pleasure in them doing well, and seems to take a lot of pleasure in them not doing well. That said, he does obviously quite often make a lot of sense. The last 5 years, he's come to the fore, and that's great, and good for him in terms of his career as a pundit. The other thing I'd say is, in terms of the Ferguson, the whole Ferguson dynamic, I think Ferguson was very clever in using Keane to say things that Ferguson wanted to say to players, that he used Keane to say as his captain. And I think he was very clever in using Keane. And when things were, obviously, for 99% of Roy Keane's Manchester United career, things went very, very well. And that culture in the dressing room, that whatever, you know, Keane could pretty much say whatever he wanted, was fine. But as soon as the wheels, you know, as soon as things would possibly go wrong, you know, those kind of things were going to grate on players. And I think the fact that there's a very interesting part where Gary Neville says in that talk, he says, if you'd have said that at 27, 28, you wouldn't have been ushered out of the club. And I think he's absolutely spot on. The fact that Roy Keane was 34 and was coming to the end of his career, it was a good, helpful way of getting Keane out of the club for Ferguson and Kiros, who was the coach at the time. Obviously, there was a few things said between Kiros and Keane, which he's talked about in his autobiography, and Keane talks about in the talk. So I think, you know, Ferguson and Keane were very similar in terms of personality types. Obviously, there was always going to be showdowns. Gary Neville said, they were never going to take a backward step at any point in their career, and built their careers on being that abrasive character. But, you know, Ferguson was clever in using him and pulling those teams along to remarkable achievements, and you can never deny the man that. And the one thing I would say about Keane is I would trust him in terms of honesty more than Ferguson if it came to a, you know, who's been the most honest in an open in public. And you have to say, when Keane is talking about Ferguson's family, you think, I can see he's got a bit of a point there, actually. Particularly the thing about Ferguson's brother, and particularly the thing about Darren, you know, Ferguson getting a winner's medal.
I don't know about that. I just feel like he was a player in that Manchester United squad, and I know that he was Sir Alex's son, but never, when I watched United back then, did I ever think, oh, there's favouritism here. He was a bit part player who played, that opening, you know, 13 to 15 games of the season. But as soon as Sir Alex realised there was a better player there and realised that actually it was too difficult to manage Manchester United with his son in the side, he got rid of him. Mm.
Yeah, I think that's a fair comment. And I think Ferguson would have been hard on his son as well, that club. And I don't think he would have put him in the team if he was going to also embarrass, you know, he wouldn't want his son to be embarrassed. But I think when you're playing with really good players, it is, you know, easier to come across as being a good player. Whereas if you're in a struggling team, you know, it's harder. It's definitely harder. But I think, you know, the wider point is that Keane is ultimately, you know, he's great copy, isn't he? He's, you know, with the guy just starts talking and you hang on in every word. He will, I think, the underlying sort of bitterness and that thing that he has in his personality, that he just can't let things go, is partly what made him such a great player, in terms of he just refused to let things go. There's that great clip of him where Ferguson's saying how brilliant he was in a game against Juventus, I think, in the semi-final, in the Champions League. And Keane's like, well, what did he expect me to do? You know, he says I covered every blade of grass. Of course I covered every blade of grass. You know, he can't even take a compliment from Alex Ferguson, and that sort of goes to kind of down to his personality and his what drives him, and I think there's just a lot of that sort of negativity in him, and I think that'll obviously never go.
Yeah, 100% agree with you. We're going to get back on to Roy Keane in a moment, Mark, but we do have a caller. Samir is calling all the way from India, I believe. He wants to give his thoughts on Ole Gunnar Solskjaer being Manchester United manager. Samir, give us your thoughts.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. So, yeah, so the main doubt I have is regarding, I feel that Ole can do the job, right? But, like, players he wanted, especially in the, we are really short in the midfield, right?
Short in the midfield, you think?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. So, like, we are lacking creativity. We are not getting, like, enough chances created from the midfield, right?
So, what would you do to rectify that, Samir?
Like, I believe that we have problem with the ownership, right? Everyone knows that. We are really in debt, and I think it's becoming really hard to sustain the things. Like, if you see, our spending has been not really great in the last couple of seasons. Our selling has not been great. We are buying players, but we are not selling them. Like, if you see Real Madrid, for example, they won 3 consecutive Champions League, right? And in those 3 years, they didn't buy anything at all. Like, not very much of amount. Like, not, they didn't spend...
No, I think we've lost Samir then. Understand what he's saying on Ole Gunnar Solskjaer there. And again, talking about finances, not 100% sure I agree with that. A lot of money has been spent since Sir Alex Ferguson left in 2013. I'm joined by Mark Flanagan of LSR Northwest Radio. Mark, we're just going to quickly go back to this Roy Keane debate because it was really interesting, the chat that he was having with Off the Ball alongside Gary Neville. And I think that we haven't seen the whole story. A lot of people have obviously watched the full, you know, hour, 2 hour transcript of it, but the headlines have obviously been picked up as with regards to what he said about Sir Alex Ferguson, Darren Ferguson and his son and Kathy and all the rest of it. But Kim was also complimentary about Sir Alex Ferguson. And I know the other thing with this is all stuff that we've already heard. It's funny how comments get regurgitated and it gets back brought back into the media. A lot of this has been said in his book already. A lot of this has been said when he's had, you know, really eye-opening interviews before on TV. But he was quite complimentary. He said he always felt comfortable under Sir Alex Ferguson. He always said he felt like he knew what he wanted, what Sir Alex Ferguson wanted from the players. And he said that Sir Alex always said the right thing to get the best out of his players. He was good at managing the group, but he thinks not good at managing man management in particular. But he also did say, which, you know, received quite a laugh, was that he wouldn't be too critical of Sir Alex Ferguson.
No, and I think that, you know, you look at every successful manager that's ever walked the planet in, you know, whether it's England or Africa or whatever, you know, the art of management in some respects is kind of getting players out of the club, and almost, it's not skullduggery, but you have to play the game in terms of making sure you've got a super successful team. I mean, you know, the great Liverpool team that, you know, that Ferguson always wanted to knock off the perch and eventually did, you know, they had lovely cuddly Bob Paisley, but you probably couldn't meet a more ruthless manager. You know, the way that Paisley got rid of players out of Liverpool. And I think that, you know, that Keane was always going to be bitter, however it ended with Manchester United. You know, the infamous interview about after the Middlesbrough defeat, it could have been, you know, it would have been something else. If it hadn't been that, it would have been something else. And I think if you boil down what, you know, the criticisms that Keane has got of Ferguson, you could be criticising any manager, any successful manager. In fact, any manager, pretty much, to be honest, in the way that they have to operate. They have to be diplomats, they have to be politicians, they have to be coaches, they have to be, you know, they have to have a range of, you know, interpersonal skills. It's interesting he invoked Robson and Steve Bruce.
Yeah, that was very interesting, wasn't it?
Yeah, but, you know,
he had to move those guys.
Well, I disagree, you know.
I don't agree with that at all.
No, and I don't think either of the two men he's talking about would particularly agree with what Roy Keane said. You know, they understand it's that Dario Gradi came up with a great quote. There's no such thing as loyalty in football. You know, everyone understands how it works. And if you are not at the level to play at the level that your manager requires, you're in trouble. And those guys are coming to the end of their careers. And you know, Brian Robson was no angel. And Ferguson knew that, you know, the culture that he inherited in terms of the drinking culture that Robson, I'm not saying Robson led it, but he was heavily involved in it. You know, obviously we're not involving Steve Bruce in that. So, you know, he knew that it was time to move those players on. And,
And age, Brian Robson, you know, age came into it as well. Yeah. It got to the point where, you know, Brian Robson was and had got a great offer from Middlesbrough to be a player manager there. Steve Bruce was, you know, David May was now an established centre back at United. Yeah. So that was time for that partnership to end. Of course, they only had one more season or a couple more seasons alongside Gary Pallister, and then Jaap Stam came in and Ronnie Johnson came in. So that was just a natural evolution. But the drinking club as well, you look, that's been heavily documented. Mm. A lot of people have spoken about that in their books. And it was what he said about Sir Alex and in terms of his man management, he kind of counteracted himself. He kind of, you know, he said one thing and then backed it up by saying something else that was completely the opposite. And, you know, he talked about his man management, but really his man management with Eric Cantona was brilliant, because Roy Keane said, you know, Cantona perhaps got away with a bit more because he was Eric Cantona and because he could act in a certain way, but then he'd go and win the club, you know, a Premier League trophy. Brian Robson, yes, was heavily involved in that Wednesday drinking culture, the Saturday, even the Sunday, like Gary Neville said. But if you speak to any pro who played for West Brom, who played for Man United, who played for England, they will always say, yeah, Robbo was drinking until 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning, but he was first on the training ground and he was first in front of that pack when we were running around the pitches.
Yeah, and I think the other thing with Keane is a very kind of black and white personality in terms of the nuances that he would have observed watching Ferguson. I mean, I've been in the company of Sir Alex Ferguson a couple of times. I can tell you if there is a better person at charming people, I've never met him. I mean, this guy could make people feel like they are 10 feet tall when you watch Ferguson in a social environment. He's a master. And then he will flip as Ferguson, who will be almost Ferguson the bully. And, I'm not that kind of really aggressive, over the top, intimidating personality. He had that kind of ability to do that and carry it off. Now, I think Keane is one of those people who would kind of look at that and think, oh, he's a bit of a phony. And one minute he's being nice to X and the next minute he's being horrible to Y, and couldn't really probably compute it because it's just not how he would behave. But that, just because it's not how he'd behave, it doesn't really matter. That's how some of the great managers have done it. That's how they have to do it. They have to, like I said before, they've got to know when to behave in certain circumstances. If you need an arm around the shoulder, or it needs, you know, a rollicking. And Ferguson was a master at being able to understand, you know, how to behave in the circumstances and what was needed to be said, at the right time, at the right place, kind of thing. And I think those things are difficult for him to compute, because he always says that Brian Clough was a better manager than Alex Ferguson. He was, he was the best manager we worked under, because I think Clough was very much like Keane in that black and white. You know, he didn't suffer fools. He just, you know, if it was the chairman's wife, he'd talk to him, the chairman's wife, as if the same way he talked to a trainee. Whereas Ferguson would talk to the chairman's wife in a very different way than he'd talk to a trainee. And I think that's the thing that Keane will kind of hang, you know, his opinion on in terms of Ferguson.
And I think, you know, we have to say it's cliche, quite a basic, obvious argument, but you cannot please everyone. When you are such a senior position like Sir Alex Ferguson was, like Brian Clough was, you know, I bet people would say that they didn't get on with Steve Jobs. I bet some people would say, do you know what, I didn't have a great relationship with Richard Branson. I think when you are that successful, and the success that Sir Alex brought to Manchester United, it is impossible for him to please everybody. He has to have a ruthless streak. He has to have a split personality in a way where he can, like you said, put his arm around someone and be the loveliest bloke you've ever met, but in one fell swoop be in the middle of an interview and go, no, not answering any more questions because you've annoyed me and I'm walking away. So it's very difficult. And I think that, you know, again, when we go back to Roy Keane, it's difficult now to accept what kind of character Roy Keane can be, because he mentioned, again, you talked about the Middlesbrough interview that he gave when United lost that game 4-1 in the 05-06 season. We talk about the pre-season that he had there, and there's the infamous story about Carlos Queiroz just chucking him a bib and saying, right, you stand up front. And he wasn't happy with that. But there were always conflicting reports. Like, just listening to those two there, both him and Gary Neville had differing accounts of what happened there. So I think sometimes you have to take what Roy Keane is saying with a pinch of salt, because he wants to see it the way that Roy Keane wants to see it. And I think the environment that he was in for this particular, you know, conference or live show, whatever you want to call it, was that he was let off the leash a little bit. You don't often see Roy Keane in that environment where, you know, we haven't really seen him like that before. He's playing almost a bit of a character, quite jovial. You don't really see that from him that often. Very, very open and almost geeing the crowd up. And that part of it I didn't like. I didn't like the fact that he was saying things. And you'd imagine that the majority of those fans in that audience, yes, you know, a lot of them are just Irish fans, but I'd imagine the majority of those fans were Manchester United fans. And I didn't like the fact that Roy Keane was saying certain things about Sir Alex Ferguson and his family, and people were just laughing at it because it was a throwaway line from Roy Keane.
Yeah, no, I understand that. And, you know, there would have, you know, fans of Roy Keane as well. You know, if you know Roy Keane's going to be there, you know, the other thing as well is his stock grows higher every year that United are struggling. You know, that kind of, we need a Roy Keane, you know, let's get a, the one thing we miss is a Roy Keane in the dressing room. Well, you're not going to get another Roy Keane. I'm sorry, but, you know, we need a plan B. He's kind of that reminiscing about the Keane era, which obviously United fans obviously will do because it was extraordinary in terms of success. But yeah, like I say, every year that goes past that there isn't success, people listen more to what he's got to say because he becomes almost more relevant, because it's like, well, we need to listen to this guy. This guy was there when we were winning. You know, he clearly knows what he's talking about. Although, you know, you just know if Roy Keane was manager, it wouldn't end well. You know, his inability to be positive about things that he should be positive about would expose him, you know, brutally quickly, because he's, like I say, he's good when United aren't good. He makes sense when United aren't playing well, but he almost seems to revel in it. And I think that's the feeling I get from him now, is that he enjoys tucking into United and would struggle to applaud them if Ollie turned things around.
Yeah, absolutely. If anything, being a Manchester United fan, it's actually a bit sad. It's a bit sad to hear an ex-player who was such an integral cog in that treble success, in that success under Sir Alex Ferguson in the 90s and noughties, now saying these things about the club. And you kind of think, crikey, was he actually not that bothered about Manchester United? We could talk about this for hours, Mark, but sadly, I've got to let you go. We will have you on for the entire show next week. Hopefully, we'll get these phone lines sorted. But Mark Flanagan, thank you very much for joining us.
Not a problem. Take care.
That was Mark Flanagan of LSR Northwest Radio. Right, we have got plenty more coming up. Sam Pilger, we'll be talking to you next.
This is Love Sport.
Good evening. This is Love Sport. I'm Matt Beadle, and this is the Manchester United Fan Show. We're with you for another 25 minutes or so this evening. If you want to join the debate, it's very easy to do so. We are discussing all things Manchester United, and in particular, Mr. Roy Keane, after his comments with the guys from Off the Ball earlier this week about Sir Alex Ferguson, of course. It's 0208 7020 558. You can get us on WhatsApp on that number as well, or drop us a tweet at Love Sport Radio. A bit of admin before we move on in the international games involving Manchester United players this evening. Spain are 3-0 up against the Faroe Islands. David De Gea brought back into the Spain side. Of course, Kepa was in goal for their victory over Romania, but De Gea has got the nod today, and it looks like he is keeping a clean sheet against the Faroe Islands. Of course, you would expect that. And Victor Lindelof is currently playing in a 1-1 draw with Norway as things stand. They are into injury time, but it looks like that Scandinavian clash will end 1-1. Right, I'm delighted to say that joining us on the line now is Sam Pilger, sports writer for The Athletic, 442, Forbes, and a host of others, and, of course, the author of Manchester United's Best 11. How are you doing, Sam?
Yeah, very well, thank you. Nice to join you again.
Great to have you on the line. Before we go anywhere, that Manchester United's Best 11, what was the 11?
Oh, geez. Okay.
testing your knowledge of your own book, Sam.
Oh, my own book. Okay. Peter Schmeichel in goal. This was based on an all-time 11, so from the entire history. So it was Peter Schmeichel in goal, a back four of Dennis Irwin, Yap Stan, Duncan Edwards, Roger Byrne. Up front was Eric Cantona and Dennis Law, and in midfield was the aforementioned Roy Keane, Bobby Charlton, Ryan Giggs, and George Best.
Lovely. Sorry, Sam. I put you on the spot there, mate.
I managed it. I mean, I did write the book, I should remember, but there you go. That's all 11. So no space for Paul Scholes, Brian Robson, Cristiano Ronaldo. So, yeah,
no space for Brian Robson, Sam. I'm devastated.
I know. Well, it, it was Robson or Keane, and I had to go with Keane.
Okay, well, speaking of Roy Keane, of course, we've spoken about it quite a lot already on the show, but I'd love to get your views, because obviously you, I would imagine, have worked quite closely with Roy Keane before, spoken to him on numerous occasions. Now, this is stuff, and I said this earlier as well, that we've kind of heard all before from Roy Keane. We've read it in the books that he's written. We've heard it from Sir Alex Ferguson. We've heard it from other players who have come out and spoken about Roy Keane. And we see it quite often in the media. He's done a lot of interviews now with ITV, and we've seen some great stuff from Roy Keane, but we've also heard some negative things from him. And this is one of them. Again, reiterating all of his points, were you surprised at all to hear what Roy Keane had to say to the guys from Off the Ball earlier this week?
No, I wasn't surprised. I think he's still resentful and bitter, if that's the right word, about his treatment by Sir Alex Ferguson when he left the club in 2005. And he hasn't really got over that. And I think actually that bitterness has festered. And, you know, it's made him take a look back at, you know, of everything that Ferguson did at the club. And so, unfortunately, you know, he's saying, oh, look at Darren. Darren wasn't good enough, but he played in a championship-winning side, and your brother was scout and so on. So it's not getting better any time soon. And the last time I interviewed Keane was a few years ago, and I did ask him, you know, any chance of you and Ferguson having a talking out your differences and over a pint? And he sort of laughed and said, well, it wouldn't be a pint, it would be a cup of tea. And he went, yes, sir, apologises to me. I'll accept that. But I think it'd be a cold end here for Sir Alex, which is, and apologises to Roy, especially after the last week and dragging his family into it. So yeah, it's pretty sad as United fans to see arguably United's greatest ever manager, United's greatest manager, and arguably United's greatest ever captain. You know, so divided.
Yeah, it's interesting you mentioned the apology there, because, I don't know, I'll throw a few names at you. Jaap Stam, of course, Ruud van Nistelrooy, Andrej Kanchelskis, Paul Lintz springs to mind as well, Gabby Ainsah when he left the club, and David Beckham as well. Now, these are all players who had reported differences with Sir Alex Ferguson. A lot of them have been well documented, of course, but you mentioned the apology there. Ruud van Nistelrooy did apologise to Sir Alex Ferguson, didn't he? He was the sort of one that put the olive branch out there, and by a text, I believe it was, said, look, can we get together? Can we have a discussion? And yes, Roy Keane is never going to do that. But on one hand, do we look at it that these players had an issue with Sir Alex Ferguson as well? So do we at all buy in to what Roy Keane is saying about Sir Alex, or do we just think this is a really big chip on Keane's shoulder?
Well, I mean, maybe a bit of both are true, really. I mean, Keane clearly has a chip on his shoulder, can't let it go. But Ferguson, for his brilliance and his genius, you know, was there for 26 and a half years and was imperfect. You know, all his imperfections are sort of overlooked with his legend of, you know, 13 titles and two Champions Leagues. And you know, that's fine. And maybe if you look back, maybe there might have been a better candidate for chief scout rather than his brother Martin, and maybe Darren did get a few more games because he was his son. He also, Roy forgot to mention that Sir Alex's other son Jason was an agent as well that got involved in some deals as well, including Jaap Stam's exit from the club. So he was imperfect and that's overlooked most of the time, and that's fine. We should remember the success and the good times he brought to the club, but it doesn't do much for Roy to churn it all up again. But you know, but Roy is Roy, and it's great. You know, it's made a bit of, you know, in the international break, it's become a bigger story, and it's you know, a footballer or an ex-footballer speaking their mind is something we, you know, we should cherish and enjoy, because too many are dull.
Yeah, absolutely. That's one thing he does certainly bring a headline. We are going to move on from this. I'm just going to quickly again touch on Darren Ferguson and those comments, because at the end of the day, this was a player, yes, who played the first 15-odd games of the season, I think it was, but I mentioned on the show earlier, he had a hand in that first win over Southampton with Dion Dublin scoring, of course, his first goal for the club. He was the guy who crossed the ball in. And I know these are really small intricacies and I'm really clutching on quite a very small straw here, but he was involved in that. And then he was involved in the 11-game unbeaten run. And at the end of the season, Manchester United won their first title for 26 years and the first Premier League campaign. So I don't really think we can complain too much about Darren Ferguson getting a Premier League winner's medal. And of course, he was then moved on to Wolves the following season. But a man now in the hot seat at Manchester United isn't Sir Alex. It is, of course, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. And you've written quite a decent article this week regarding Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, Sam, and suggesting that maybe, just maybe, he's better suited in the director of football role at the club.
Yeah, that's correct. I mean, I think it's unlikely to happen. I think, well, who knows? Who knows, really? I mean, Solskjaer's love of the club is such that if it didn't work out as manager, it might be an idea to shuffle up, you know, sideways and become director of football. I did it on the basis that actually, if you look now over 9 months, his performance in the transfer market has been pretty impeccable, really. He has his only three signings for the club, but James, Maguire and Wan-Bissaka have all started well, all look to be good players and were the three nominees for United's Player of the Month. So he's bought well so far, still very early. And also going back to January, we've started with Marouane Fellaini and then Ander Herrera, Lukaku, Sanchez, Darmian, Smalling. These are players no one's mourning the loss of. I think it's a separate issue that many of them haven't been replaced. That's another issue. But in terms of letting these players go, I think that's, you know, ins and outs, that's nine. And I think he's got them right. So he's obviously got, he can pick a player. He's got an eye for a player. And I think actually, you know, a wider issue is he's also choosing the right players as well. So he can choose a player and he's brought in and sold well. But obviously, you know, United have won one in the first four games and finished the season badly. You might question him as a coach and his ability to get results, but his ability in the transfer market has been pretty good. And so if you look at people, the stature of Edwin van der Sar at Ajax and people United have talked to about the director of football role, which, you know, strangely have all had to have played for the club. And I don't see why, you know, that shouldn't be a prerequisite. Patrice Evra, Darren Fletcher, Rio Ferdinand. You know, Solskjaer is actually doing on the job and doing a good job of it. So I think, you know, if it doesn't work out and the results don't improve, I don't think it's beyond the realms of possibility. He'd probably love to stay at the club and help out and maybe do better in that role.
Do you think he could, in terms of his legacy? I mean, a lot of stuff has been said this week with the fact that Javi Gracia has been released from Watford. He's been sacked and they've brought Kike Sanchez Flores back in. And when you look at Gracia's record compared to Ole Gunnar Solskjaer's record as manager of Manchester United, everyone's saying, well, it's only because he scored a goal 20 years ago that means a lot to the club, that he's still in a job. I personally don't agree with that. I think Solskjaer is now really, you can only judge him, in my opinion, after these first five games of the season. You can't really judge him on last season because it was a complete and utter mess under Jose Mourinho. So the thought that his job is on the line, I don't know. And whether he was to leave, do you think it would be difficult for him to stay in the club in that capacity?
I think actually, you know, knowing Solskjaer's character and seeing his love for the club and to remain at Old Trafford in such a high-profile job that would help influence and help improve things. You know, obviously it would take a knock to his pride to say, we don't think you're going to know as manager, but it's probably unlikely. But, you know, as I wrote about, and I think it's true, he's proven he quite adept at that job. I think, I mean, look, every, you know, unless you're in the six post-Ferguson seasons, every United manager has been under pressure and their job on the line because there's been very few periods of sustained success. So, it does look a bit vulnerable. And Solskjaer, you know, one win in four, I mean, I think, is it one win in four 3-16.
Yeah,
I know you wanted to sort of banish last season, but I think that's difficult as well, because the Solskjaer that United are hoping returns is the Solskjaer who made such an impact, and that was before the decline. So if you want to hold on to that as hope, you've got to take everything, the bigger picture, and that is the earlier success and then the decline, which doesn't seem to have arrested. I mean, you know, it's very early in the season, must win games, but Leicester are third, it's at Old Trafford. You know, another draw or defeat would be unthinkable. But, you know, the form table tells us Leicester are more likely to win. So already it's a huge game and it's middle of September. So, you know, it's a simple game, and then we can talk all around it, but it's all about results. And Solskjaer is not getting results at the moment.
He's not indeed. Sam, we could talk for hours. I definitely want to get you back on to kind of discuss the United of old compared to the United of new, because I think it's a really important topic at the moment, with a lot of ex-players like Roy Keane weighing into that debate, and the fact that the culture isn't quite the same at the club, and Gary Neville coming in and saying we're never used to get Churchillian speeches or big massive chats at the start of every season because we just knew we had to perform. Can't be like that now because the culture has changed. But that, as I say, is a conversation for another day. Sam, thank you very much for joining us.
That's my pleasure.
That was Sam Pilger, journalist for Forbes, The Athletic, The Observer and many, many others. We'll definitely be getting him back on the show. He did mention the Leicester game. We're going to be chatting about that next.
For the fans, by the fans, Love Sport Radio.
Good evening, this is Love Sport and I'm Matt Beadle. The Manchester United fan show is happening right now on these airways for another 6 minutes or so before we go for the evening. Right, I'm delighted to say we've got Ben Senior, Man United fan, on the line, who is going to discuss the upcoming clash with Leicester. How are you doing, Ben?
Yeah, I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, good, thanks, boss. Thanks for coming on. Leicester is next up, and we had Sam Pilger on the line before the ads, and he was saying that, you know, we're 5 games into the campaign now, and this already is a massive game. One win for United so far this season. Leicester are flying high, looking very good under Brendan Rodgers. Harry Maguire playing his former club. United need a win. Is that right?
Yeah, I mean, it seems silly saying this early on in the season, but it is a must-win game for United. I think you've seen the past few weeks, the performances haven't been terrible, but the results haven't matched up to that. And you look at Leicester, they're a team with a very clear style, clear formation, you know what you're going to get for them. So United need to turn up on Saturday, big time.
What's your thoughts been of the season so far, Ben? Because obviously it burst into life with that 4-0 victory over Chelsea, and then it stuttered somewhat. Performances haven't been dreadful, but the results haven't been there.
Yeah, I mean, I must admit, I, like any of us, got a bit excited and a bit carried away with that first win of the season against Chelsea, and we were banging in the goals. I thought, here we are, we're back. We're here, top four. It looks very much a possibility this season. But then, since then, the results have just fallen off a cliff. I think you're looking at the transfer business that's been done over the summer, the players that have come in, the likes of Wan-Bissaka, Maguire, Dan James, they've looked very good, but the squad itself, it looks very thin. And I think that's shown when we've wanted to change it up a bit, or you look in the last 10 minutes who you can bring on, there's not been a lot of options for Solskjaer. So I think we need to sort of work out, he's got his sort of style formation, he seems to want to play this counter-attacking football, but we need to be a bit more dynamic in games, and when the plan A doesn't work, do we have that plan B to then go and finish the game off?
It's hard, isn't it? Because part of me thinks Ole is stuck between a rock and a hard place, in a sense, because United fans have been calling for, you know, playing the United way, bringing in the youth, looking at homegrown talent, and that's what Ollie's decided to do this season. Whether or not he couldn't get certain deals, or Ed Woodward, should we say, couldn't get certain deals over the line, listen, that's another matter. But the fact that he brought in an Aaron Wan-Bissaka, a young, homegrown right back, he brought in Daniel James, yes, Welsh, but very young, very pacey, plays the United way of old, you'd say. He's putting faith in Mason Greenwood. He's putting faith in Tahith Chong as well to come off the bench and produce the goods. So in a way, he's going back to that Manchester United formula. But also, if you want to challenge for those honours, if you want to remain in that top six, that top four, you've still got to invest and bring in those senior players who can have that good blend of youth and experience within the side.
Yeah, I mean, you look at it and his heart, he has promised on what he said. He's got rid of some of the dead weight in the squad. You look at it, and we've got rid of the likes of Darmian and Smalling's now gone to Roma, Lukaku, Sanchez. They've all gone out the door. He's not been afraid of showing people the door when he thinks he don't fit into the style of play or don't have the right attitude or whatever it may seem to be. But then you've got to have that the other way around as well. The signings that he has made have shown that they've worked. The ones for the future, and they are playing the United sort of way, but it needs to be backed up a bit more, and whether that's something that the structure above him isn't in place. I mean, how long have we been talking about a director of football now? It seems to be for the past 12 months we've been trying to get a director of football in, and that just hasn't happened. I mean, every ex-player that's literally ever played for the club has been linked with a job, but still no one seems to have come in. So you've got to have questions of the actual structure at the club. I am happy that Solskjaer's in it. I am happy that the way he seems to be going, bringing through British players. You sort of think that he could just let players off the leash a little more. I'd like to see a bit more of Mason Greenwood, Gomez and James Garner, because I think our midfield at the minute is looking very weak, and I think it just needs freshening up with a few new youngsters, because when we're talking about United traditions, that is, lo and behold, the built into this club that we bring through the youth, and they go on and make first team appearances, and then we won't need to go and buy a 70-80 million pound player, because you then produce your own. So he's getting there. He just needs full backing, and I think the fans are on his side, and they always will be. I think he just needs to go a bit further, to go a bit more like, let's give these young lads a chance and really go for it, and hopefully start playing that true attacking football that we're used to.
That is definitely what we want to see. Of course, I think if he does bring in those youngsters again, he's almost building a rod for his own back if they don't get the results. Like I said, it's a very difficult situation for Ole Gunnar Solskjaer at the moment. Personally, I think he needs the season, because where else do we go? If you get rid of Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, where else do you go? I think just 3 wins in 17 games, however, perhaps not the best record. In fact, it isn't the best record, but he has to be given time, because United have tried it with Jose, it didn't work. They tried it with Louis van Gaal, it didn't work. And in fact, one of the two defeats that United have been on the receiving hand of against Leicester in 22 Premier League games was, of course, under Louis van Gaal in that dreadful 5-3 defeat at the King Power back in 2015. Ben, just before you go, a prediction on the game next weekend?
I think we'll turn it around. I think it'll be a big United, and I think this could kickstart, hopefully, a run of results that sees us move up the table and really get into our rhythm. So I'm going for a win. I think it'll be tight. I think something like a 1-0 or a 2-1 and get the job done.
Lovely stuff. That is what we want to hear. Ben, thank you very much for joining us. That was Man United fan Ben Senior. I'm sure he'll be back on the show again sometime soon. Right, this has been the Manchester United Fan Show on Love Sport. We will see you next week.
This programme was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com.